All right, Chairman, John Pulkumba, do you want to begin?
Yes, I want to begin by notifying Kyle that this meeting is being conducted via conference call in accordance with the governor's emergency regulations. I'd like to go right to the agenda and go to item two, consideration of minutes from the March 24th meeting. Is there anyone that has any amendments? You've all been sent the minutes or suggested changes for those minutes? Hearing none, I take a motion to accept the minutes.
I move that.
Any second?
I second, Graziano.
Thank you, John. The minutes are approved. Moving on to item three, consideration of the April 20 financial statements. Jill?
Okay, this was a document that was mailed to everybody in the middle of May. Quite a bit has changed since then. My plans are for the May financial reports to address and update it with the revised budget numbers. But what we're looking at here is obviously because of the decrease in the revenues in April, we only had revenues of approximately $270,000. There was an additional deficit or a negative revenue amount, net revenue versus minus expenses at the end of the month. We'll make the changes as we go. I have just a couple of comments I just want to make. If you look at the April, obviously we didn't have any award expenses in the month of April. Last year, if you take all three areas, we had approximately $1 million in expenses. So we don't have them this April versus last April. And if you look at May, we're also not racing in May. And that was about $1.4 million. So those are two expenses that will not be this year. We'll see what racing does. I also want to comment on page 12 of this report is where the VLT payable for gaming is recorded. This is the money that's brought in from Nassau and Suffolk. For May, I will be making an adjustment. We don't do it until the end of the year, but it will reflect $515,000 that's in there because of the anticipated shortfall in the VLT revenues for the year. The last thing I just want to bring to everybody's attention is on the final page, the accounts receivable. You'll notice that the 60 to 90 days and the over 90 days is almost 40% of what's owed to us at the end of April. This is compared to last year where it was about 14%. And basically, it's just almost everybody is paying later. And like us, they're conserving their cash until racing resumes and they have a better idea of what's been going on. So we haven't made any collection calls on that money. We're kind of waiting to see what happens when handle resumes. Does anybody have any questions on these financial reports? Okay.
Okay, Joe, let's move on to the proposed budget changes for the audit committee recommendations.
Yeah, John Graziano, do you want to address this?
Yeah, I think I just want to say that the audit committee spent a lot of time with Jill and Tracy going through the budget, not just the revenue, but the expenses, and examining line by line every single thing we could. And we cut as much as we possibly could. We shrunk the revenue. We obviously cut a number of almost all the expenses as we went through. And the promotional, and I want to say that Dr. Wilmont, as chairman of the ad hoc committee of promotion, was involved in all these conversations because a lot of the cuts were in the promotional arena. So we didn't just do this in a vacuum, but we had multiple meetings on this. And we want to thank, two contractual expenses that we had, which was Kyle and NYTV. you know, we were able to get them to make concessions to their contractual obligations. So we want to thank them for that. But, you know, I think Jill did a great job putting together the narrative. We can certainly answer any questions. I mean, I think it's the narrative part of the cuts and the rationale behind it, I think, are pretty self-explanatory. And I know the group as a whole voted to do that so that we could make the holdback effective by when racing started. And so, you know, if there's any questions, we certainly can answer them. And I do think, even though this was done a month ago, a lot of our assumptions at the time remain consistent today, even, you know, the anticipated start time of racing.
Thank you, Johnny. You did an excellent job, you and the audit committee, and we all want to thank everyone who's made a sacrifice here to help us get through this really tough period. Any questions for John or the audit committee or Jill or Tracy? And I guess we should put this to a vote. Correct, Kyle?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it's a ratification of the vote we already took, correct?
Yes.
So we'll take a motion to ratify the proposed budget changes.
There's so moves.
That's who? Who moved?
Sample.
Who made? Dr. Sample made the motion. Any second?
Joe
McMahon second. Any further questions? Any more discussion on the motion?
So this is Jeff.
Okay, Jeff. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that there was actually a motion written up that we voted on electronically. That's the motion that we're obviously voting on right now, I'm assuming.
Right. We're ratifying that, Joe.
Yep. Okay.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll move on to the next item, the software upgrade. Tracy?
Yes, that's something that Phil Bursch had wanted to get rolling. And at the last meeting, Joe suggested we roll it over to discuss this meeting, but our financial picture hasn't improved since then, because it was going to be like a $27,000 expense to get an email sent out daily when New York Breds won a race or finished first, second, or third in the race in New York. So because that's an expense of about $27,000, I suspect that you'll want to move this on down the road perhaps for next year.
I believe that the audit committee talked through this as well, and that was our view was to obviously move that down the road. Correct, John?
Yes, I think we cut all the spending on future or for the rest of the year for anything to do with the software.
Makes sense. Okay, you want any other questions for Tracy about the software upgrade?
There's certain upgrades we have to do. There was a problem with reporting, and we had to have it fixed. And very often we get a credit from them every month, and usually the credit will pay for what has to be done. But sometimes there's an additional cost of maybe like $400 when there's a problem that has to be fixed.
Okay, thank you, Tracy. And move on to number six, the mayor movement reporting. Who wants to take the lead on this? Kyle?
Well, I'll start it, and then I assume Tracy will take it from there. We have been back and forth on this topic for probably about a year now. As everyone on this call knows, there are certain requirements that the fund has published on its website that relate to what needs to be done when mayors are being moved in and out of the state and even within the state. And I know that there have been some concerns about certain breeders that weren't following the mare movement requirements and not completing the cards properly. And then there was a whole discussion that went over two meetings about, you know, what sort of teeth can the fund put in to make sure that its mare movement requirements are being met. And the discussion had been around whether or not there should be fines associated with it, whether there should be other penalties associated with it. And I was asked at one point in time to put together a proposal. But to be honest with you, when I sat down to write it and I listened back to the tape and I looked at my notes, I didn't feel like the board had reached a consensus as to what that would look like, number one. And I also wanted to make the point that the mare movement requirements that the fund has do not emanate from the fund's rules and regulations, but rather are what I would describe as more informal, in that they are posted on the fund's website, but they are not the product of any form of rulemaking that the fund has taken. And so I am concerned about, you know, formalizing a rule, formalizing something with enforcement that doesn't, is not yet the product of a formal rulemaking. So I talked to Tracy and I talked to the chairman about my concerns here, and my view on this, for whatever it's worth, is that there needs to be greater debate and discussion in order for the board members to come to a consensus as to what it is that you, that this board wants to do in order to really have a uniform mare movement reporting program. And then if there's a desire to do that, I think the this board should consider whether or not to create a formal rule or rules around that, so that so that we'll be able to enforce them. So I just put it out there like that, Tracy. I know that if you could take it from here, I just wanted to sort of lay the groundwork as to what my concerns were.
Well, the mare movement is a very useful tool for the field team for knowing where mares are, like in advance of a visit. And Adam could speak more to how he uses mare movement. But I think I want to remind the board that we originally brought up the topic because one of our board members saw that one farm had like 100 mares moving there without mare movement cards. And it turned out that this person just had been overwhelmed. A farm close to her farm had shut down and told everyone they had to move within like 2 weeks, and she was flooded with horses. And so it was really the sending farm that should have sent us the mare movement cards, but since they were closing, I guess they didn't feel much of a concern to do that. And then so we concluded and looked into it. There was no wrongdoing on the part of the receiving farm. It was just that they got overwhelmed and therefore did not send in mayor movement cards in a timely fashion. Also, we do have a rule change in front of the governor right now, and I do believe that that's very important that we get that rule change through. So it's up to the board to decide whether they feel they want to do a rule change in order to put some kind of punishment behind two people who don't fill out a mayor movement notification to us.
Tracy, how did these guidelines get on our website? Did the board vote on it at one time, or how were these guidelines that are on our website, how were they established?
I know I've been breeding since 1990 or something like that. And as long as I know, we always had to let the board know, or the fund know, when we had a mayor move into the state or out of the state. But I don't know how far beyond before 1990 that was a rule. Adam, do you have any idea?
No, I mean, I think there were rules along those lines. I thought established from the fund's establishment. I think we've had some rules like that since the 70s. I'm not sure of the exact specifics or how or if they've changed.
This is Joe speaking. The rule was changed to a 90-day rule for the visiting mayors that were bred to New York Science along the same time that the rule was changed to allow mayor owners to go out every year. The theory, the feeling was at that time, and I think still is that we needed to encourage people to come into the state to breed to New York Stallions. But at the same point, we were seeing a lot of problems at that time where mares would come in June and foal and be reported as covered and leave by July 10th or July 15th. So people were getting away with a very small residency. So to make it equitable for everyone, we decided to put in a specific number of days from foaling that a mare had to be here along with a breedback. Mm-hmm. So those have been published for well over 20 years now. And that came out of a discussion. We had what was called the Stallion Development Council, which met several times in the state and came up with these new ideas. So that's where it came from. The idea of the mayor movement card was specifically to help the fund field team so that they knew if there was mares moving around within the state or without of the state. Again, to enforce the number of days. That was the reason for it. And so if people don't supply it when a mayor comes into the state or a mayor leaves the state, the fund has no way of knowing whether or not the owner has complied with the rules. So that's what it was put in for. Is that clear? Does everybody understand that? There was a lot of stuff there, but
yeah, no, this is Jeff. And I think I could add even more to this too. For the chairman perhaps as well. Because it's important to establish and understand what's the difference between law and a rule of the fund here too. Because the 90-day window that we're talking about is not law. That is a rule.
It's a rule.
The law is the breedback component to that, to what the mayor has to do or not do, right? But not the days and the 90 days and how they actually do that time. That's all in-house of the fund, a rule. And as Joe just outlined, the whole impetus behind the rule, or the card, I should say, is to enforce the rule, which is essentially enforcing the integrity of our entire program. Like, this is literally the whole component of the integrity of the program, of establishing what's a New York bred and what would not be a New York bred by breaking a rule. And in the reality of this situation is that today, 2020, it's dramatically different than what it was, we'll say, in 1995 when rules were changing in terms of technology. Okay. And the rule card in 1995, obviously was paper-based and mail-based and snail mail and stamped or perhaps faxed, right?
Right.
And today, obviously, is much, much, much different. So that's where a lot of this has come from, is with technology change and where we are today. But the issue is also has been outlined is that we found, or the fund has found, Tracy and Adam, that perhaps not everybody is following that rule in terms of filling out this paperwork. So over the last year or even longer, we've had this dialogue about how can we further protect the integrity of the program by enforcing people to fill out the proper forms. And if they did not fill out the proper forms, okay, what would our penalty be to them? And that's really what I think Kyle was starting with, is that if someone didn't follow this paperwork, which we're trying to make technology-based now, which some of it already is, what would our penalty be or what would we do? And there was a much back and forth about this because, and I'll get right to it, is that if we enforced a dollar penalty, a dollar amount for somebody who didn't fill out these forms, right, or was late or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. The concern, well, the one side of it is sure, we could force money onto it, the situation, it would go to the fund. The flip side to that, which there's a lot of debate on, is that almost by enabling them, people, to break that rule by attaching any dollar amount to it, right?
Yes.
So we would almost be eliminating the integrity of the purpose of having the rule, which is you have to follow this, otherwise you're breaking the system. So that's where the debate started and stopped. And I think that should take this whole dialogue full circle to where Kyle is today.
Yep. And if I could just add one thing. Occasionally somebody ships their own mayors in and out to Kentucky or Maryland. And then, Adam, you can join this and add something if you want to. But I believe Adam then asks, okay, you know, we need backup, so you need to show us your board bills from the other state. So we have other ways of checking. And the ultimate ruling is if they can't prove that they came in on a certain date or that they ever boarded, you know, in the other state, we could say you cannot be registered.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is Adam. I think that in about 80% of cases, movements are submitted as required. In all the other cases, the only way somebody can get their horse registered is providing a van bill. So, I mean, that's the current penalty, is that then you have to provide us with this additional documentation to prove when the mayor came back in. So, I mean,
right.
So no horses are getting registered without that having been provided. But
That's a good point. It's a very good point, because you're essentially saying that, you know, they're not eligible to be registered without that backup, is the point.
Exactly.
And I think that's the key. It's just the fact of the matter is we want to get people to, we want to get that 80% to 100 is really where all this started. And if there was a way to do that, we should look into doing it.
Jeff, how does this relate to the regulation that we're waiting on the governor's office for?
Wonderful question. It does and it doesn't have a relationship, because the rule that we're trying to get proposed back from, if everyone remembers back from November, was about purchasing mares from public auctions that would be brought into the state. And once, so technically, those mares would have to follow whatever this existing rule would be once they were brought in, right? So there is a relationship, but it's not, it has no effect on what we're doing, is probably the easier way to look at this.
I think there's a question about whether it's a rule or whether it's a law.
It doesn't seem to be either.
It maybe isn't either. It's a requirement. It's a requirement of the fund.
The mayor movement card is not a rule, and it is not a law. It's neither. The 90 days that are a part of the part that triggers the card or the movement is a rule. Okay. Mm-hmm. The card itself is a way of implementing the integrity rule. Of the rule. That's what
correct.
It is. It's a
correct. That's correct.
So, Chairman, there's not a direct relationship with the rule change that we're trying to get proposed, is really what.
Understood. But since Adam is telling us that he's not registering the horses unless he has that card, that seems to be working well. No one has complained about it. I don't know if we need to fix something that's not broken.
Right.
Kyle, do you agree?
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I think that the registry has the ability, in order to protect the integrity of the program, to require proof that it does require, as Adam laid out. I don't think Adam necessarily just requires the mayor movement card. I think what he requires is proof. That the mayor was in the state for the requisite period of time. Whether that proof is established through whatever documentation the registry thinks is appropriate, and I think that is certainly sufficient. And I would leave it at that, to be honest with you, unless there is a real desire to have a more uniform and buttoned up system, which we can do. But if we do that, then I think it's going to require a little bit more work. And I think will require us going and seeking a rule change, which I don't think is necessarily in the fund's best interest at this point in time.
I agree, Kyle. If anybody disagrees, please speak up.
I completely agree. I think that the system works, and my only comment would be, you know, if there's ways for us to communicate to breeders on the importance of using these cards timely to get that 80% to 100%, that's all we really need to be doing, right? Is finding ways to get everybody to make Adam's life easier, basically, or the fund's life easier. So I don't think there's any change that needs to happen, other than, you know, helping to inform people about it. So the other important piece I would mention too is, and why these cards are important, people doing it, is that process triggers the field inspection team of the fund to go visit and ensure people are following the rules. So when people aren't doing that in a timely fashion, it doesn't help the staff of the fund or the field team. That's all.
Okay, why don't, Tracy, why don't you think about any ways we can enhance compliance here and get it up closer to 100%. And if you have any suggestions, any proposals, why don't you present it to us at the next meeting, okay?
Well, I could just say right now, I mean, one of the obvious ways is to send out an email blast to the 2,000 or so addresses we have in our system. And those would be people that get awards. So there's always people that start reading that don't have their W-9s yet.
Do you think that's a good idea? Joe?
No one thinks that's a good idea?
I think any way you can communicate with them is going to work. It'd be helpful. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's at the top of our homepage.
Why don't you put something together and run it by Joe and Jeff?
Alrighty.
Thank you, Tracy.
I think we can,
unless there's anything else, any further discussion on mayor movement, I think we can move on to number 7, purse enrichment. Jeff?
Sure. So this was part of the budget process in reviewing the financial forecast for the year. And I asked Tracy to write letters to NYRA and to Finger Lakes and it just put them on notice and let them know that we've revised the purse enrichment for the year by $500,000 less, which is changing, obviously, the figures for both NYRA and Finger Lakes. Which she did, and I don't know if she's gotten, Trace, I don't know if you've gotten any formal responses from either of them yet,
Well, not formally, only just that NYRA, you know, Dave O'Rourke was going to share it with their attorney and with Martin Panza, and the Finger Lakes, excuse me, simply said that they were going to use the same purse structure that they used last year, which means every 2 weeks they send us a breakdown of where the purse enrichment money was used.
Right, right. So with NYRA, I know I can give. So with Finger Lakes, they're going to get $600,000 or $400,000, which they're going to use the same exact fashion as last year, obviously in less races because they're going to run a significantly condensed racing meet, which is why that works mm-hmm. for them, I'm sure. Yeah. And then with NYRA, NYRA is literally just put together the Belmont meet, which is going to start tomorrow, for the next month of racing. And that is as far as they've gotten with their purse structure and stakes program for the entire year. So my assumption and what I do know is that as they get closer, to Saratoga and the casino situation, more information is shed on where that stands in terms of VLT revenue. They're going to put together their stakes program for the rest of the year, of which they'd include the Stallion Stakes, where this money is going to completely go to. So the point is the money is going to go into the Stallion Stakes as we wanted. It's just there needs more time and clarity for them to go do that. They haven't put out anything past, you know, the next 4 weeks. And their stakes program overall has been cut in half based on where they're the same way that the fund budget has been forecasted in half. So realistically, there's going to be reductions across the board. That's what I can tell you about purse enrichment at this point.
Thank you, Jeff. Any questions for Jeff about purse enrichment? Okay, then we'll move on to number 8. Any new business? Anybody want to raise any new business?
Mr. Chairman, this is John Graziano. Not new business, but I just want to make sure that we're clarified on the budget amendments, because there was two amendments in there, or two motions that we set forth, and I just want to make sure that everyone understands what we're voting on, because the first was, you know, the concessions that were given in the contractual stuff were contingent upon us renewing the contracts or giving new contracts at the same rate next year to both Kyle and Jeff, and that was the first motion that allowed us then to put those reductions into the second one. So I know that that's been a topic of conversation in the past, and I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of that and that it's duly reflected in the minutes, and so there's no misunderstandings.
Thank you, John. That was definitely my understanding, and I think we ratified that today. If anybody has any different interpretation, please speak up. Any other new business?
This is Bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to bring something up.
Okay, let's have Dr. Wilmot go and then you, Trace, okay?
Sure.
A number of people on the call are aware of this, but I wanted everyone to understand, you know, we've cut a lot out of the promo budget, as John Graziano referenced before. And we have two things. One is we're continuing with what was said verbally in terms of our elective advertising. So we're just going to concentrate at this point on big events. So hopefully Tis the Law stays sound and runs in the Belmont. Tracy's already, thank you, Tracy, set up a big full-page ad prior to the Belmont, and if he wins, we'll do something after. Second thing is that we approached Tony Oliveto of NYRA, who is the head of their TV operations, and we have a number of spots coming forward for the rest of the year on the national TV platform that NYRA has, and they have agreed at no extra charge to do the production costs on these spots. So they're going to produce them for us, which will save us quite a bit of dough going forward. We only, remember, kept about $50,000 in the budget for promo. And if we did it the way we used to, we would have spent a significant portion of that. But we've saved us more money. I just want to make those two points. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Great job. Good job by the promo committee. Tracy?
I just wanted to mention that I've been speaking to, you know, some stallion owners around the state, and they were telling me that they think the number of mares getting bred this year is down by at least 20%. Joe McMahon can weigh in on that. But because we're having fewer mares getting bred this year because of COVID-19, it's really critical that that rule change that is on the governor's desk get through before the fall sales happen, the mixed sales, because we really need to do something to get the numbers up for next year's fall crop. Because, you know, if you're having a 20 or 25% reduction in the number of mares bred, and then, you know, there's always a certain percentage of mares whose pregnancies either they don't take or they don't complete the pregnancy, our numbers will be really off next year. And it's very important that we are able to entice more mares into New York through the rule change that's on the governor's desk.
Okay. Ron Oakram, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Ron, is there any way you can transmit that to the people
I could
that
talk
are
with...
reviewing the record?
Yes, I could talk to Rob. It's usually a conversation with the governor's counsel's office. We could certainly do that.
Thank you, Ron. Any other new business? Any old business?
That was the old business I was going to bring up. So you've shelved the old business with new business.
Okay, that's the best we can do, Jeff. I know that they are swamped with work right now, and they have a lot of things that they have to deal with. All we can do is transmit our request and the need for getting this done quickly if we can. That's the best we can do, Jeff.
Right. Understood.
Okay. Is there anything else? Anything else anyone wants to discuss? Then we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second?
Okay. We're adjourned. The next meeting is scheduled for August 4th. Hopefully some of us can get together in person.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.